There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right now, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. Phone number, same as it ever was. If you're new, cool. 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on a phone call or a text. And a reminder, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages as well. All right. I mentioned this at the beginning of the hour, or beginning of last hour, be joined by Caroline Dobson. And this also goes into a conversation that we were having last week, right? This is a question of just the mechanics of voting in the state of Alabama. And this would be part of the purview of the job of the Secretary of State that Caroline Dobson is running for, and she joins us now to talk more about it. Thanks for your time. Good to hear you again.
Yes, no, grateful to be on. I hope all has been going well with you and your family.
They're good. Like we texted the other day, the child is still in school, so that's good. Still in, you know, it's a sophomore, so life is, she made it through the freshman year. So I think we threaded the needle on that one.
Yes.
So, yeah, fingers crossed here. I want to, a couple things. First of all, if you know, I know you've discussed it, it's been statewide, Jeff's discussed it as well, but for folks to know that you are in for Secretary of State of Alabama, you're running for the office.
Yes. No, I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to hopefully be able to serve the people of the state in Alabama in a way that I feel like I'm uniquely positioned to do. Obviously, being a candidate in a very hotly contested general election last year, it's not an experience that, frankly, many statewide elected officials have had running. You know, a lot of our statewide officials the real heart of the battles in the primary and not in the general election. So witnessing firsthand, you know, some areas where we can continue to improve election integrity and the ease and administration of elections. And then also my career in the private sector. I'm a shareholder at Maynard Nexen, and my focus is commercial real estate and transactional law, helping small businesses form, operate, buy and sell property, lease space. So I'm interacting with the Secretary of State's office on the business services side on a daily basis. And I think there's a lot that we can do to streamline those services, reduce fees, make it easier for small businesses to start, to operate, and to dissolve if they need to. And then also trying to be more aggressive when it comes to attracting businesses to our state, getting businesses that are already here in Alabama to actually incorporate in Alabama. You'd be shocked at the number of businesses in our state located here, headquartered here, that are incorporated in Delaware, which is increasingly a blue state, a state that is by the year becoming less friendly to businesses. So,
because that was always the secret sauce, right? For Delaware. I remember learning that, my gosh, many decades ago in school. They're like Delaware because they had laws real favorable for incorporation or something to that effect.
That's right. They used to have a body of law that was very, very developed, you know, with the intent of attracting businesses in the 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, that was kind of the bread and butter, and really a cottage industry in Delaware was all the kind of administration surrounding corporations and corporate filings. However, kind of like, you know, California has been shooting themselves in the foot. They've become, you know, increasingly becoming a blue state with overregulation, unfavorable tax scheme, and then also more and more judicial decisions that are antagonistic to businesses. So you're increasingly seeing businesses that have been incorporated in Delaware unincorporating from Delaware and looking at other other states in which to domicile. Texas, Wyoming, Nevada are really competitive states where that are, you know, trying to be very proactive in attracting those businesses leaving Delaware. But Alabama should be at that top of the list. Alabama is ranked number one in land use freedom. We do have a state income tax, but we also have much lower property taxes than some of those states that I mentioned. We don't have a margin tax, franchise tax set up like some of those states. So if you actually calculate the cost of doing business, Alabama is very competitive. But I know that there are changes we can make to our business code too. So I've, you know, if I have the opportunity to serve as your next Secretary of State, I really want to work with the legislature, with Coach's cabinet, to make sure that we're really competitive. We certainly need Alabama businesses. If they leave Delaware, they need to be reincorporating in Alabama, but also attracting businesses from throughout the country and really spreading the word about what a great place Alabama is to not only live, but to do business in as well.
Yeah, I wonder as you navigate this, I kind of think back on a municipal level, and we're going to talk municipal stuff in a second, but I had forums with the mayoral candidates here in Mobile, and they were talking about one of the questions that come up from listeners was how troubling it was to get business licensing and stuff done in the city of Mobile. And I think back to when current and about to be, you know, former Mayor Stimson came into office, he was talking about those same things, and he really, I think he's been a good mayor and tackled a lot, but to hear that that problem still existed, I don't know. I have like maybe a simplistic private sector look at it. I said, why don't you get everybody in the room at the same time, sit them down and say, why did, you know, Ms. Smith's building application permit not get done for 6 months? Like, what crack did it fall at? You know, just like a simple, like, right. Call everybody to the kitchen table, sit down, we're going to figure out what happened here.
Right. No, I think there is still a world of improvement when it comes to streamlining services, guaranteeing same day services. I am committed to developing an app where if you're a small business owner, if you want to, you can download the app and have a really easy way to update your registered agent information, which right now requires you to go online, complete a form, pay $100 just to change your address if you're the registered agent of your family's LLC and that's changed. So I think there's a lot we can do to make it just to make it easier for some. I mean, we Innovation Portal there in Mobile. We recognize, I think, on the one hand that small businesses and startups are the future in so many ways of our state, and that, you know, existing small businesses are the backbone of our state. But yet we're making it overly cumbersome for them to just perform some really basic functions. And just trying to keep track of the paper trail. Often a lot of small businesses will hire an attorney like me, and I'm really not doing anything particularly legal. I'm just keeping track of when they need to file information reports, and they don't need an attorney to do that. If we had some more accessibility and affordability when it comes to the office of Secretary of State, and that's what I'm committed to doing. That's what you see President Trump doing. You know, he's hired the first website design officer, one of the founders of Airbnb, to create an Apple Store-like experience for users of government websites. So it's just not a quagmire. And it all kind of boils down to trust. I think when you can get on a Secretary of State's website and accomplish what you need to accomplish in a matter of minutes instead of getting confused, then that helps foster a sense of trust in your elected officials and in the function of government. And that all relates back to elections, you know, having trust in your elections. It's not just that we need to have election integrity so we get the results that we, the rightful voters, rightful legal resident citizen voters of this state deserve, but also, you know, when we don't have trust, when there's the perception of everything being opaque and smoke and mirrors, then that disincentivizes engagement. And so to address down the rabbit hole and back up, municipal elections, I think we witnessed that across the board in this state, whether in Mobile, with voters voters in the runoff who had voted 4 weeks before showing up as inactive status, or in some small municipalities where there was a lot of confusion about, you know, some municipalities in this state don't have accurate city maps. So folks were going to vote and then being told they didn't live in the city limits. You know, there's really there is kind of no clear organization and liability protection when it comes to the administration of municipal elections. There are a lot of counties and cities in this state that share election equipment, or the election equipment belongs to the probate judge's office. Probate judges don't administer municipal elections. Doesn't make sense for small municipalities. They can't afford to go buy separate voting equipment, so they end up using the county equipment, but it's unclear as to, you know, who's at fault if information is entered incorrectly, if a machine breaks. So there's a lot of logistical and administrative challenges that I want to tackle as your next Secretary of State, but certainly ensuring that the rightful voters of this state can trust that when they go to their precincts, that they're not going to be marked as inactive or questioned. You know, I heard some of the stories from Tuesday were really disturbing, frankly.
Yeah, you know, I look at this, Caroline, this way, because it's the public sector, not the private. If this was the private sector, somebody would have made it more efficient to try to take the market share. But we can't do that. This is government. It's not private. But I think, like you mentioned, the app for businesses. I had a listener a while ago texting about this. What about an app for voters? Now, and I realize you can go to the Secretary of State's website and put your information in, although we do have cases here of people getting their card right in the mail that says go vote here, and it was the wrong place. I mean, they're getting the official communication, being told to go there. You know, an app seems like it'd be simple enough to be able to, like, plug in, you know, right there on your phone, plug in, and that way it's not even a card that could, information could change before Election Day somehow or whatever. You put in your address that morning in the app, you hit go, it says absolutely, here's where you go, and heck, it'll give you a Google Maps link to get to the spot to vote.
Get
you know?
To it, right, exactly. No, I mean, if an app can show me where the nearest Chick-fil-A is, then we can definitely accomplish that. And I think that is so vitally important in situations like this past municipal cycle, because I heard from multiple voters that, you know, they obviously, we had a big election in November. People want to go vote. They're thinking, I'm going to go where, you know, I'm going to get in my car, get off work at 6 p.m. I'm going to go vote. They head to where they voted in November without, and they got the card in the mail, but they, you know, oh, I knew, I went and voted in November. I know where to go. Not realizing a lot, you know, a lot of folks don't realize that municipal elections sometimes are at the same polling places, often are not. And so, you know, drove to where they voted in November. Nobody's there. By the time they figure out where they're supposed to go and get there, it's after 7 p.m. and they've lost an opportunity to vote. But to your point, if there was an app where you could, again, put in your address and it shows you where you vote in municipal elections, where you vote in state and county.
Yeah, where do I vote today? You press the button. Where do I vote today? Bingo.
Today.
All right. Here's the Google Maps sending you to where you vote today. And that could be updated with just seconds to go. You could update that, you know?
Right, right. Because I think also, you know, what I also want to accomplish is working with county commissions to ensure that we have adequate precincts. And if it looks like, you know, in Lee County, a couple of cycles ago, there was one precinct in Lee County with 16,000 voters. So ostensibly 16,000 people, you know, if they had 100% voter turnout, would have voted there, which you can imagine, you know, the lines were hours long. And who was punished the most? Folks that work during the day, you know, folks that are let's say, you know, maybe don't work and you know, are on welfare and could stand there for 5 hours to vote weren't harmed. But the folks that had, you know, 40 minutes to vote during lunch or, you know, had you need to be there at 7 a.m. in order to make it to their job or drop their child off at childcare were the ones who were disenfranchised, really, when there weren't adequate precincts. So, yes, if you had an app and, you know, nears election time and the county commission in conjunction with the Secretary of State thinks, you know, we need to add a precinct because people are going to have to wait too long, then you can update that information, you know, beforehand. If you have the app and you've signed up for notifications, you can get a notification saying, hey, your, you know, reminder, here's your precinct, or you've been moved to this precinct so that you have, you can vote more efficiently. So same thing with an app. You could request an absentee ballot if you have a profession that requires you to be away on election day. So I think there's a lot, whether it's business services or our election integrity, there's a lot that the office can do to, again, foster, build trust with the voters and with the electorate.
Yeah, if you want people to know, it's voting day. Whoever does the Walgreens system, because Lord knows your prescription comes in, and they're going to text and call you till you come get it. Maybe find that technology.
Right, challenge you. Yes,
it's like, leave me alone. I know, I'll be in. And as the where does it stand now? I was reading through John Sharp's article as well about you want it. You said you're talking about you would like more oversight. You said Alabama law places the authority of administering elections in municipal and county officials. And while I believe election administration should remain at a local level, I do want to create an election integrity division that can proactively work with local officials and citizens to ensure proper election administration, minimize election day confusion, and prosecute election crimes. So to do that, I mean, could you have a run through? I mean, if you're Secretary of State and the law changed, could you say, all right, it's what I called it, the old shorts and helmets practice before the big game? I mean, could you do that and get every municipality say, now we're going to, today on this, whatever, it's on Wednesday in August, we're going to run through this?
Yes, yes, no, exactly. And that's why, again, there's a lot of ambiguity about kind of the chain of command, because the Secretary of State is the state's top election official. That being said, statute clearly specifies that municipal elections are to be run by city government, city clerks. And so I'm certainly, as a conservative, I'm not for expanding government or over-regulating, but providing greater, more training, greater resources, helping facilitate, again, like I was mentioning before, a lot of times, even though municipal elections are not administered by the probate judge's office, a lot of times probate judges and their employees are doing the training or helping city clerks learn how to upload the information. So helping facilitate training in advance, and then also ensuring that we have adequate election day volunteers. We need thousands of election day volunteers every election in this state. And a lot of people think that there's this invisible army of election integrity officials that just are manifested somehow on election day, but it's all on the shoulders of you and me, on the shoulders of private citizens. And so what I'm trying to do, even just as a candidate, is to also make people aware of the responsibility that we all share in ensuring election integrity and building that trust in our elected officials. We're at this moment when, the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk is really, creating a fire within our young people to be involved. I heard talking to a Mobilian this morning, actually, who was saying the number of college students who came home to vote in the runoff, carpools of kids came to Mobile to vote in the runoff. Maybe some kids that didn't even vote in the August election, but because of what had transpired in our country between the original municipal election and the runoff, really felt led and called to be involved and to take a stand. And so I think we have this opportunity, truly a God-given opportunity, to carry on the mantle of Charlie Kirk. And one way to do that is to really encourage these young people to, of course, vote. But you want to be involved in an election? Well, yes, you can volunteer with a candidate, and you can door knock, and you can sign wave. But also at the end of the day, that candidate last year, I knew that I only had a chance of winning if I got voters to turn out, but also if there was integrity in our election system and in every ballot box. And so trying to get young people to also recognize that, it may be more glamorous to go door knock for a candidate, but we also need you on election day. We need good, qualified poll workers in every precinct throughout this state. And I'm sharing the same message with attorneys throughout the state. We need folks to volunteer to sit in probate judges' offices throughout the state and be neutral election observers. In one county in District 2 last year, I had a colleague from my law firm had been just a mentor to me, a wonderful conservative attorney who sat in one county as the absentee ballots were counted and flagged 43 absentee ballots that were either incomplete, incurable, was it part of some conspiracy? He doesn't know. I don't know. But these were 43 ballots that were going to get passed through had he not said, you know, this isn't notarized.
No, and it's good they're there. And we're going to pick this up against the hard break here. But remind folks, if they want to get more on your campaign, ask you questions, reach out, where do they go?
Yes, please. No, we'll be trekking throughout the state. Our website is DobsonForAlabama.com, and you can find us on social media, Dobson for Alabama. It was a pleasure being on, and I hope to get to see you soon.
Yep, will do. There she goes, Caroline Dobson, running for Secretary of State of Alabama, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know what? I have to grab most of these texts on the other side of the break here. We're just about out of time before the news, but that's fine. We'll be back another half hour here. People commenting on Caroline's interview, been very informative. That's from Angie. It's a couple things here. I mean, they have to change some things to let. I am absolutely want to do things at a local level. But it's almost like. If you keep failing the test, you're going to have to go after school and meet with the teacher and get some tutoring, right? I mean, it's like, if what happened here, well, we'll continue that discussion tomorrow. Judge Mark Irwin's going to join us at noon to talk about that on the show. I'm not going to let it go. I mean, we got to fix whatever happened last Tuesday.
On FM Talk 106.5.
At 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. We're always talking about the inventory of vehicles that's robust, but in addition, we got an inventory of financing options, David.
Yeah, we do. The rates have come down too, secondary rates and prime rates, so that's good for everybody. Bad credit, good credit, ugly credit, doesn't matter. We've got programs for people in bankruptcy. Currently in bankruptcy, which is, I mean, everybody says they can do it, but it's not as easy as it sounds, but it's very simple here. And then we've got programs for folks that, you know, that have the 800 credit score as well. I mean, so we got rates that compare to anybody or beat anybody. We've got a really good inventory right now, too, of cars, trucks, SUVs, anything you're looking for. We had 7 come in over the weekend, so it's a good time to come see us.
Okay. Tell them, unless... they put it in Google Maps. If they good old fashioned way, how do they find you? What's your directions?
We are 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A, which is your Tillman's Corner Theodore exit. So just get off 15A, 1 mile, third red light on your left hand side. We're on the corner. You can't miss us. Give us a call 251-375-0068 or go to the website lcmmotorcars.com.
Good stuff, David. We'll talk soon.
Hi, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. David McCrary with LCM Motor Cars. Let's see. This from T-Bone. Going back here, trying to catch up on some text, which, by the way, too, we had... Well, okay, let me go a little further back, because Supermom had said an average store-bought corn dog weight varies and give us the different weights. And then Terry had said, well, Supermom, some of us just have average corn dogs. So we're looking at the corn dog... Because if y'all didn't hear the story earlier, you know, it'll be all over TV because they love a food recall story on TV. Like 58 million pounds of corn dogs recalled. And I was trying to figure out how many corn dogs go into 58 million pounds. That's how all that started. Scott also, yes, and I just want to know how much wood it takes to contaminate 58 million pounds of corn dogs. I mean, really, wouldn't that at least be a noticeable amount? One would think. All right, T-Bone. So my winless Pee-wee football team took on the Parrotsville Parrots. I don't remember if they were really parrots. And their team was made up of puny boys and some girls. We felt better about ourselves after beating them senseless. Fire Dog. At first, they came from my yellow dye number three, and I said nothing. Then they came from my cadmium, the cadmium in my shrimp, and I said WTF. Then they came for the wood in my corn dogs, and I didn't say anything at the ER as they removed wood splinters from my mouth. You see something, say something, Fire Dog. Let's see. Questions here. Okay, some of these are probably for Caroline. Let's see. When changing an address on a driver's license, does it auto change your voting info? Yeah, if your residence, yeah, when you change your residence. But the problem is, texture, like if you did it the day before or something like that, it probably takes time to update. That's why I think this idea, which came from Jerry in Fort Morgan, to have the technology. I mean, if we're going to have an app, like you can, I've told y'all every time you go to Secretary of State's website, this, that, and the other, but it may take longer to update there. If you just had an app and it was voting day and you're sitting there and you go, okay, my address is 1234 Mobile Street, Mobile, Alabama, whatever, it'll say, okay, here's where you vote. And wouldn't it be cool? I mean, just a little bit of technology here. If it was private sector, you know, it'd be there. Press this button and it Google maps you to where you're going to vote, go to vote. And you're like, oh, today I'm voting municipal. Now I'm in a federal election. Now I'm, and it figures out where you are, depending on the districts, right, and sends you the right place. But yeah, so you're asking, you change your driver's license address, will I guess eventually do that? But how long that takes, texture, I don't know. I do not know. Let's see. B Dark says, yep, but I love my Alabama, two of my favorite teams. That's why the NFL want to make it in Alabama. And then goes on to say, well, volunteer to be a probate judge anytime. B Dark, the probate judge, all right, good. And said, think about changing my name to Bottom Feeder, B Dark. I don't know where that's coming from, but let's see. This is, this is from CA. Hey, Sean, are your lower Alabama cousins going to be living in St. George? Don't know what that means. I will be in St. George, Utah in just a little over a month, flying in there. But I don't know. Give me some more information on that one. Let's see. Jason said, thanks for having Caroline on. She's a star and we'll be in good hands with her in that position. Look forward to voting for her. Okay. It's going to be interesting too, because I mean, you've got Andrew Sherrill, right? He's running for it, and Caroline Dobson on the Republican side. It'll be interesting. Both are like regulars around here on this station. It'll be interesting to, I don't know, it'll be one of these things where we've done this before and we'll hear, we're going to hear this. We are absolutely going to hear this in the AL1 race. You know, whether people be talking about, like, I'm more Trump than it. Listen, all of them are going to vote with Trump. This stuff, I know it works so well, and the consultants tell them, but I get tired of it. We'll hear it in the 26th cycle. I'm more Trump than they're Trump. Y'all are both going to vote the same dang way. Your Republicans from, red districts in Alabama. What I want to hear is, why are you better at it than them? Why are you a more efficient person doing the job representing the people? That's what I want to hear. And I wonder if we get into that, because, I mean, Dobson and Sherrill are both very strong Republican conservatives, okay? I want to hear stuff like, here's my idea on making this more efficient, or here's my idea, here's a new way to look at it, right? I don't need to worry, the politics are going to be the same. Just show me who's better at doing it. So, we'll have a long time to, I say a long time, but the way time moves at my age, it will be primary time in no time out there. All right. Superbomb says, my main concern during a government shutdown is the active duty military personnel that are required to continue working but do not get paid until the government reopens. I can't find a straight answer on if that includes deployed personnel. My youngest will get my savings if need be. He lives frugally, as I know. He's good for it. He may be owned by the government, but I'm not cutting my responsibility as a mom. Good for you. And I think we've talked about that in shutdowns before, how people can help. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have anybody I talk to regularly in Washington. I think this one will be for effect. I think it's going to be less than a week before, but it does sound, I will say this, from some people, they said that they feel it's coming. Like the little bit of information I got over the weekend, and now there's a couple stories online saying the same thing. I think Jeff has one over at 1819 News. Maybe there's one at AL.com that they're getting people ready for the shutdown to come. So I do think from hearing all that, and the one thing I heard over the weekend, that the shutdown probably is going to happen. But my guess is it's not going to be one of these months-long thing. Let's see here. Michael says 58 million pounds is basically a noon kickoff and two Saturday nights in Baton Rouge. See, we got to work the corn dog joke. So thank you. We're working on it. 58 million pounds of corn dog. Let's see. Thomas in Irvington said to all the Georgia fans that Saban is not your father, Bama is. Roll Tide, roll. Was that a game? My gosh, that was a game. And by the way, there's a, I know I sound like just any old guy, but boys were hitting Saturday night, weren't they? I mean, nobody going through the motions. Yeah, I saw like one leg tackle, but I mean, they were straight up hitting on both sides. And B-Dark winds it up here and says, if I was the judge, I could wear black and be like Johnny Cash. Well, you could do that anyways. You don't have to be the judge to do that. Yeah, I mean, government shutdown, like what happens here, right? And I went through some of the biggest questions have been about Social Security. Those checks still go out. Okay, so they still go out. And the Postal Service, because it's quasi-governmental, it still runs to bring the checks. So that's going to be there. Banks stay open. Now you have like Superbomb's son and Terry and others, federal employees, that they will have to work and not get paid. But there's a lot of them that are told not to come to work. And unless something changes this time, every time this has happened before, they get their money that they would have made during that time in arrears. And I know that stinks for budgeting. I know it is. But they do get their money. Try to think what else would be changing. I don't know. You got specific questions. We'll see. I know national parks, federal refuges, federal landmarks, those things I think will be shut down. Although there's some of them, like, it's shut down, but it's not like there's a fence around them, right? You can still go, think about like a monument in Washington, D.C. You can still go see it. There might not be the interpretive person there or something to that effect. Eric of Loxley says, I hope they do shut down. Maybe they're realize government are important. And said, don't forget to tell people the reason why government's shutting down, because all the Democrats voted to give out money to illegal immigrants. It's not just that simple, though. So, Texter, I mean, the Democrats right now are trying to get something, right? They's like, okay, well, you got the any kind of leverage they can have over the Republicans, they're trying to use it right now. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. So, because the Republicans are probably less scared of a shutdown than in the past. So I don't think, I might be proven wrong, but I don't think the Republicans are going to cave to that. Okay, news is next. We'll come right back. Pick this up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my friends at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And we talk with the Emperor there, Ron. Emperor Ron, how are you, man?
How you doing, Emperor Sean? Doing pretty good.
I do want to talk about, I mean, gold. That's been a heck of a story, but we've also talked about silver, and I'm looking at these silver numbers. Man, I remember buying silver from y'all when it was in the teens. What is it looking like today?
It's looking like about $48 an ounce on silver, getting close to that magic $50 mark, and gold still trading in the, well, close to $3,800, and it's been brisk. I mean, it's been more people buying than selling. It took a little while for that turned the corner. But yeah, lots of people are jumping in and adding. It's just with the dollar situation and, of course, the funding with the government, all these things are making a perfect storm for precious metals. And it isn't like the government can just say, okay, the funding's fixed and we're fine. You got to dig your way out of a $35 trillion debt. So I don't know if that ever, can ever happen, Sean. And I think a lot of people are finally realizing that.
Yeah, I've been chicken littling about that forever. And people are like, yeah, we hear you. We're going to reduce the debt. By the way, here's some other things we'll spend money on. I wonder if a government shutdown, what that does, I wonder if there's any past precedent to a government shutdown and precious metal prices. I don't know. I wonder if that's...
Usually it actually softens it up a little bit, and then they'll spring back when they get funding. And I hope Trump has some backbone here and doesn't give in on the $1 trillion to fund Obamacare for these. I mean, we fought for years to get that funding under control, and then they're just holding them hostage on that. I'd let them shut it down. I feel bad for people that have to wait for paychecks, but it always ends up in a free vacation for government employees. So what's the big deal? Let it ride out, right?
Yeah, as long as you can pay your bills over that period of time, be nice. Throw me in that briar patch.
Yeah.
You're talking about the brisk business. When people just... They can come in. I mean, obviously, you can sell bigger amounts and bigger pieces, but what's most common? People buying coins, you know, or rounds on the precious metals? What's like the go-to?
It's all over the place. A lot of people are looking to get the best deal they can. So when based on what we have, a lot of times somebody will come in, and it happened last week, and it's already happened today. Somebody comes in and sells 500 ounces of silver or 1,000 ounces of silver. We can get people into that same silver close to spot. So premiums are low and in some cases non-existent depending on how much you're buying. So, of course, the price is high, but, I mean, it's nice to not combine high prices with high premiums like the last time this happened. So premiums are at an all-time low, almost historically low. So it is a good time to add to your hedge, and especially if you've been doing it for a while, adding to it isn't going to hurt anything. It just keeps, you know, cost averaging as you go along.
Well said. All right, people need to find you. Hadn't been there before. Give them directions.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. All right, let's grab some text here. And and on the shutdown thing, too. So, I mean, Ron mentioned some of it. We were talking about this before we went to the news. And also breaking news right now, too, that I've been watching President Trump's announcing... it's because he had the meeting with Netanyahu today, and that was going to be, you know, we're kind of wondering what they're going to do. They seem, I don't know. I'm sorry I'm cynical about this because I want good things to happen, but a deal focusing on a peace deal here between Israel and Hamas. I hope it works. Like I said, some people are just cynical for sport. I'm not. I think that brings you down over time, but this is just like, let's just pray it does. Let's pray that there's peace there. So the president also, like, the discussion here, will he buckle to the... I don't think he does. I don't think the Republicans do, right? I don't think the Republicans buckle to the demands of the Democrats on this. This is one that, in the past, you've seen this, right? You've seen the buckling. But I don't know that they do. And it's for the Obamacare... funding. They want to, like, so the Democrats are asking to avoid the shutdown, to do the CR here. Democrats want to have a Band-Aid thing. The stopgap measure would include health care protection, as they call it. So extensions of Affordable Care Act tax credits. They're going to end at the end of the year. We've talked about this some, too, how this affects Alabama and states that didn't take all the federal money on the front, right? So, it'll be a hit to Alabama, but not at the same level. You have Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer are kind of standing up, you know, from the House and the Senate side. A standoff said, well, unless we get this, we're not going to sign on here. And you're going to have a shutdown, and it's going to be on your hands, right? This is always the thing, is whose hands are dirty with the shutdown. We've seen this over. I mean, this has happened with presidents. But I think everyone, I'd say you go back to maybe Clinton, and it's been everybody since. Maybe we've had this shutdown, has happened before. So they got what till the end of the week to get this thing done. So we'll watch this. I don't think you're going to have a capitulation in Republican ranks. So you got to have 60 votes in the Senate, right? So you only have 53. Yeah, 53 Republicans. That's I think it's 53 to 47, right? So you don't have enough. You have to have at least 7 Democrats come on board. So they're holding out there. And will this go through? I mean, you have people like, you know, Rand Paul I played earlier. He's saying he's not a yes vote because it includes more debt for the nation. And I understand where he's coming from, 100%. Let's see. Pat said banks will basically give payday loans to soldiers and take it back when it opens back up. Deployed soldiers not included. Fire Dog said in past shutdowns, usually a CR was passed that just paid troops. Coast Guard gets hosed because they fall under Homeland. That's right. The shutdown does not distinguish between non-deployed and deployed. Thank you for that info. There you go, Supermom. B-Dark says, I don't worry about the precious metals. I worry about the scrap metal. Yeah, listen, I don't know if it's changed. I hadn't looked at it in a while. Aluminum was up. I don't know about the others. Might be time to cash those cans in, right? Unnamed texter, every single representative that has served more than one term is directly responsible for the spot we are in today with the shutdown. How has it been so long since we had a balanced budget? How are these adults not able to come together and figure this blank out? Preach, whoever you are, preach. I've asked this many times. It's because there's no political capital in fiscal responsibility. Because, this is the problem with populism I have, too. It's a lot of telling you what they're going to give you or how they're going to fix this or that versus saying, hey, we got to do some tough things here and not be a debtor nation. All right? Hey, noon tomorrow, we'll be talking about what did or did not happen in the Tuesday runoff. Judge Mark Irwin, our guest, plus April Marie Fogel joins us, all coming up on tomorrow's edition of Midday Mobile. All right, Paul Feinbaum, maybe we'll get a big announcement from Paul. I have been texting with him, Billy D. I have been texting with him, but I won't tell you what he said. Maybe we'll hear next.